With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Jones! He's got it! England have won the World Cup by the barest of margins!
Stokes flashes it away through the covers for four, and England have won the match!
Hello and welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket in the middle of England's one-day series against India, the T20s and the ODIs, and in the middle of a heatwave as well. We are in England, of course, but we're not going to talk English cricket today, actually. We're going to talk American cricket, USA cricket, because, well, for one reason, actually, the USA team have been playing today in the World T20 qualifiers. They beat the Jersey team by 8 wickets. And I notice Stephen Ryan Taylor, born in Florida, of possibly West Indian parents, but definitely brought up in the US, made 101 not out in that run chase against Jersey, played in Zimbabwe. So a good win by the US in that T20, World T20 qualifier. And things are really afoot in USA cricket with the impending announcements of some franchise teams and the definite likelihood of Major League Cricket taking place next year in the States. 2023 is the big launch. And we've got a man who knows all about this today on the show, Tom Dunmore, who is Vice President of Marketing of USA Cricket. Tom, I hope you've got your title correct there, have I?
Sounds about right, Simon. Thank you. Great to be on today.
And you'll notice from his voice there that there's certainly an English twang to it, even though he's been in the States for probably 20 years or so, because brought up in the south of England, followed Sussex, you said, lived in Hove, watched probably that Sussex team of the 1980s and 90s play quite a bit before emigrating to the States. So Your roots are Sussex, are they, Tom?
That's right. That's right. Alan Wells was my hero when I was a kid, and then Ian Salisbury, first leg spinner I ever saw play live, and personally, I think didn't make the most of his talent on an England level, but you know, probably a conversation for another time. But yes, grew up with cricket, watching it at Hove, and then moved to the US 20 odd years ago, and full circle, find myself working in cricket in America now, which is just an incredible opportunity. And we're at a pivotal moment for the sport to take off here. So it's going to be a fascinating few years coming up in America for cricket.
So people listening to this will be going, oh yeah, they've tried all that before, you know, USA cricket, it folded. I mean, of course, you've got a great legacy, haven't you? Because I mean, a lot of people know, I think probably people who listen to this podcast are bored of hearing me say now that the oldest international fixture was USA against Canada in about 1860. But nevertheless, even in, as well as that, there is a great legacy of American cricket. And listeners will not know that Bart King who played for Philadelphia in the 1890s, actually invented swing bowling and came over to England and befuddled everyone with his late swing. And actually, talking of him, Tom, you said that there may be a thought to involve his legacy in Major League Cricket in some way.
Yeah, definitely. That, you know, there is an interesting history of cricket here. Bart King is one of the most fascinating characters and was certainly a world-class player at the time. In fact, there's a cricket library near Philadelphia that still maintains a wonderful archive of sort of memorabilia and archives and history of the game in the area. And the director there just the other day was sending me some photos, and there was a scorecard he sent when Bart King scuttled out of all teams Sussex in 55 minutes. He took 7 wickets for 13 runs in a match against Sussex, which, you know, tells you that the level of his play was extremely, extremely high. And cricket at the time in Philadelphia and in the northeastern US was actually a very high level. And there were tours back and forth. Now obviously that changed over time, but I think honoring that history and reminding people that the bat and ball game, you know, in the US, that ultimately prevailed baseball was very closely related to cricket is an important, you know, point of history. And really, you know, really over the decades, something that's been lost. So we'd love to find an appropriate way to honor that with Bart King.
So tell us, you know, what's going on with this so-called launch? You know, who are the teams going to be? There's been stories about Kolkata Knight Riders linked up with the LA team, the possibility of that link up and the building of a stadium. There's definitely been stories about the stadium in Dallas, which was a former baseball stadium, the Air Hog Stadium, which has been converted into a cricket stadium. So where are you at with the whole thing? And also tell us about the state of US cricket now and minor league cricket, which is going on as we speak.
Yeah, I think it's important, and I'm glad you mentioned minor league cricket, because it's important to realize that what we're doing with Major League Cricket is not just launching a T20 franchise league. It's helping them develop the entire infrastructure of the game in terms of sporting facilities, whether it's stadiums or practice facilities, high performance centers and so forth around the country. It's player development programs, academies, supporting the USA national teams developments and pathway programs like the minor league, which takes place each summer. We have 200 matches taking place this summer, 26 teams, 20 cities across the country. So it's a very high volume and high quality level of cricket taking place, featuring, you know, a lot of international quality players taking part as well, some of whom now live here year round, like Liam Plunkett, Corey Anderson, who are residents here now and coach in their local academies, as well as playing in minor league and will play in major league, along with a really talented crop of young players coming through, born and bred in the US, who are now getting first-class coaching, training, and mentoring from guys like Liam and Corey and many others that we have. And that's developing this whole ecosystem of cricket. And that's really what we're here to do with Major League Cricket. Now, the top tier, the league itself, is something that will launch next year. The locations, we haven't officially announced, but where we've announced stadium development programs, you can certainly fairly assume that's where we plan to put MLC teams. So Dallas will certainly be one where we're converting a baseball stadium into a cricket stadium, which I believe, you know, probably the first time that's been done. A really nice venue, about 8,000 capacity in the Dallas metropolitan area. Orange County, right by LA, is another a stadium development that we're working on, a great facility called Great Park. I didn't intend that pun, but as you mentioned, you know, we've got some investment from the Kolkata Knight Riders in the league. Seattle, another location where we're planning to build a stadium near the Microsoft hub there. We have the CEO of Microsoft is an investor in the league as well. San Francisco Bay Area, where our founders are from, we have plans to build a stadium at the San Jose Fairgrounds, which is a fantastic location near downtown San Jose in the heart of the Silicon Valley region and home to, you know, so many, you know, expat cricket fans, particularly from South Asia. And then the Northeast is very important for us. New York, New Jersey, you know, has the largest cricket fan base in the country, not just South Asian, but Caribbean as well. So we'll certainly have teams located in the Northeast, DC, New York, New Jersey region. And like we already mentioned, Philadelphia is an important hub as well. And then there's already a good professional cricket stadium in Florida too. And we have great hubs in North Carolina, which might be a surprise, but I think it's kind of an interesting example of where a cricket community has developed organically. It's a small town called Morrisville, North Carolina. And several years ago, the mayor took a bit of a punt and built, converted a park into a cricket venue. And it's one of those classic, if you build it, they will come scenarios where that happened for cricket. And now, you know, every weekend there are several hundred fans that go out and watch the local minor league team play there. It's one of the most active cricket leagues in the whole country, with several thousand active members playing every weekend across the region. And just a great example of if you build a really nice facility, it's a proper grass pitch. It's in a scenic location with trees in the background. It's got walking paths, just a great place to go, very accessible. The cricket can really succeed if you put these venues in the right places. And that's something we're very focused on. We're not just buying the cheapest land in, you know, ex-urban, you know, Oklahoma. We're deliberately looking at investing in venues that are close to big hubs of cricket fans, accessible to large numbers of people, and not overbuilding either. You know, they're 5,000 to 10,000 capacity stadiums that are relatively lightweight versus, you know, a lot of new stadium developments that take place nowadays. So they're flexible infrastructure that we're very confident we can fill with cricket fans.
You mentioned the number of different regions that play cricket or interest in cricket in the US. There's a fact I've heard recently being touted around, and you can tell us whether this is true or not, that there are more people in the US who play cricket than play baseball. Is that true?
Well, I've never actually heard that exact fact, but regardless of whether it's true as a marketing person, I may just say Simon Hughes said that and start using that with you as the source. But it wouldn't shock me. There's certainly a large number, particularly of adult players, which is where it's interesting, probably, because, you know, a lot of adults don't play baseball in America. You know, it's not a particularly huge recreational sport. They might often actually play softball. You know, a lot of the rec leagues for adults are softball. So that wouldn't entirely shock me. There's definitely a large base of adult fans, adult players. But probably more importantly, there are growing youth leagues, and we're certainly way behind the other sports there. There's not going to try to sugarcoat that. We have a long way to go. But it's growing very fast, which is probably the most important thing, that the trajectory is there. Almost every week, frankly, someone emails me and says, hey, I'm building a cricket pitch or an indoor facility in Ohio, in Colorado, in Florida. How can we get involved with minor league cricket, with major league cricket? And these are just independent, you know, investments being made by people who have been successful, you know, in their profession, and that cricket's important to their community. And they're looking to invest in the sport, and they're building facilities. So that, more importantly, is the you know, the roadway that we're on at the moment. That these facilities are growing quickly, and kids are playing more and more, and that's developing, you know, young players from an early age, academies with hundreds of players playing multiple times a week, and that's developing some really good players quite quickly. It's very exciting to see some of the players coming through and already playing in minor league and now graduating to the US national team as well.
So looking ahead to next year, then, potential is to have what, 6 teams to start with to play an IPL type tournament. And who are the players going to be? When are you going to play it? And how are you going to win over the US public, most of whom, you know, we've ever met an American who says, I don't understand cricket, it's really boring. How are you going to win those people over?
Yeah, so we will have, like you said, it'll be a franchise style league. And like many of these leagues, it will be a short tournament. In our case, we'll probably start even shorter than some of the others, because we'll only have a limited number of the venues that are up to professional cricket standards ready by next summer. We'll have Dallas. There are a couple other venues that we can add some temporary infrastructure to get them up to caliber, but we're not going to have six venues right away, so that's going to take some time, and we want to do it the right way. We don't want to just try to throw things together. We'll go in baseball stadiums and play all our matches there either, as has been done before. We want it to be proper cricket on proper grass surfaces, in an oval, in a proper setting. So that will take a bit of time. The basic foundation of each team will be domestic players who will be a mix of younger players, like I mentioned, a number of good young players that are coming through, a lot of professional players that we've brought over the past 3 or 4 years. We're now living in the US, playing in the US, like Liam Plunkett, Corey Anderson, Shehan Jayasuriya, a number of others of international experience. It's probably 35 players, maybe more than that now, actually 40 odd, that have had some kind of first-class cricket experience and now live in the US and are playing year-round. So they'll be the heart of the domestic qualified players. And then, like a lot of leagues, each team will have a set number of international slots they'll be able to fill, whether it's 3 or 4, and they'll bring in the world-class players at that point. We'll have
you're not going to be able to get those, are you?
Very confident. Yes, we feel very good about our ability to attract high level, top tier players. I think we'll be competitive financially with other leagues outside the IPL, and it will be very attractive to come and play in the US for a number of reasons. Whether it's we call it a novelty factor, but the chance to be part of a new professional league in the US, I think it's a very exciting one. Chance to be in the US in the summer and be part of this experiment, experience that will get the eyes of world cricket on it. I think that's going to be appealing as well. And from the players that I know we've talked to, there's a lot of interest. So, we've got KKR as an investor as well. So we have folks involved in the league that have the right knowledge, connections, experience to bring over top tier players. And that's very important. When you think about professional leagues in the US, what we are used to in America is the best players, right? The NBA has the best basketball players in the world, the NFL, etc. And it can be a challenge even for MLS in football, soccer, that they don't always have the very best players. And sometimes, certainly on a national level, that can make it harder. We think it's very important that cricket fans in the US recognize this as a world-class league and a league worth paying attention to. If you're getting up at 4 a.m. to watch an IPL match or an England test match, we want you to recognize this level of cricket as consistent with that and something worth your time, money, attention to follow and become a fan of. And so it's very important that we're at that level so that we get the fans of cricket here first. That to your last question, that's our first target group. The fans of cricket here, and you can count them a number of different ways, but there's certainly millions of them based on the immigration patterns from cricket loving countries, based on the numbers we see from viewership of IPL to visits to websites that cricket based websites that we're able to track. So we know there are millions of fans of cricket, so convincing them that this is world class cricket for them to follow, that's our number one objective. Number two is then starting to develop that next generation of fans. And no, I don't think we're instantly going to convert a 75-year-old diehard Dodgers fan who doesn't know the difference between cricket and croquet. I think that's probably a stretch. We'll try and
exactly. It rubs its legs together and makes a noise.
Yeah, exactly. Like you, Simon, I've met a lot of Americans, and sometimes it's easy to explain cricket, and sometimes it's a bigger lift. But I do think there's a younger generation of sports fans now in America that are very open to international sports, that follow international soccer, that follow F1, might even watch rugby or even Aussie rules. And they're interested in these sports. They just have a curiosity about the world that, was maybe whether that curiosity was there or not 2 or 3 decades ago, it was almost impossible to do anything about it because you couldn't follow it via TV or the newspapers. And then how are you going to follow it, right? Now there's infinite possibilities to follow a sport that has a global footprint and more coverage than you could ever want to consume. We have a 24-hour cricket channel in the US, Willow TV, you can subscribe to. There's a lot of cricket now on ESPN Plus, which millions of people have access to. So the accessibility is there and the curiosity is there. So, you know, my job now is to find out who are those most likely non-fans of the game to convert to become cricket fans. You know, is it younger baseball fans who love a bat and ball game, and no country loves a stick and ball game more than America outside of cricket-loving countries, right? So we have that going for us. And in fact, you can translate quite a bit of it. A really good example is a very well-known YouTube influencer in baseball called John Boy. He's got a few million followers, and he does great explainers about baseball. He's very funny, sort of a man of the people, and does these fantastic explainer videos. And he started posting about cricket last year, and his fans actually really took to it. He's done explainers, you know, explaining cricket using baseball terms. We spent some time with him. We had Liam Plunkett out with him a few weeks ago, playing some mashup crazy version of cricket and baseball in his warehouse, which was a lot of fun to see Liam throwing 95-mile-an-hour baseball.
I can imagine he's a Spartan.
Liam absolutely loved it. Yeah,
Baseball practice, actually. He was telling me, you know, before the World Cup, he actually went into a, you know, hitting cage and kind of worked on his hitting that then brought into cricket. So
yeah, he's a phenomenal athlete, you know, and you could see that instantly. He just walked up and started bombing, you know, fastballs right on target. But anyway, you know, when you look at someone like John Boy, who starts explaining cricket to Americans using baseball terms, and one thing Jimmy, John Boy, his stage name, I suppose, Jimmy said to me, you know, cricket is not that alien to baseball fans if you just strip out the terminology. A great catch, you know, a great hit, even a run out, it's pretty visually.
As well, isn't there? There's a word inning.
Yeah, bat, you know, and you're trying to score runs, you're trying to bat, you're trying to get people out. You know, the fundamentals are there, but the ball is in play a lot more with cricket. And it, you know, baseball has slowed down over the last couple of decades. The ball is in play less. It's more about.
Have you watched an IPL game recently? It takes about 4.5 hours.
No, but you're right. I've been to baseball, and I was really struck actually by how slow it was.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of action. You know, half the time, even if the ball's hit, it goes behind, and you know, and it's a foul ball. Cricket, the ball is in play all the time. In fact, John Boy's fun little game they invented, he called it the ball in play league. And that's his sort of take on cricket, that it's an interesting variation of a bat and ball game. And it's something baseball fans can take to, and it's different. Doesn't mean you're going to stop being a baseball fan. John Boy's not going to stop being a diehard Yankees fan. But at 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, when he wants to watch a stick and ball game, he can watch an IPL match live and get his fix that way. So, you know, I think there's plenty of room, and we don't have to. This is such a big country. We don't have to convert all of middle America to become cricket fans to succeed. We just need a small slice of this country, even of this country's existing cricket fans, frankly, to be able to succeed, because we're not building 50,000 capacity venues in 30 cities. We're building 5,000 to 10,000 capacity venues in six cities where we already know there's a million plus baseball cricket fans in each one already. So if we can get a good, you know, chunk of those fans, plus start to introduce some new audiences, and, you know, we had our minor league finals last year in Morrisville, North Carolina, where I mentioned we had a few thousand people out. There were probably 25-30% were new fans of the game that had never been to a cricket match before. They just heard there was a national championship match taking place, came out to the park, watched some cricket. We explained it. You know, we handed out flyers, you know, what's cricket? And they loved it. They sat there and they really soaked it in. So if we can get that chunk, 10-20% coming in and grow it, you know, that's how we build a platform for it. And then having major events like a World Cup here, just like the football in the 90s with the World Cup coming here in both the men's and the women's 94 and 99, that introduced a whole generation of Americans to the sport, and cricket can benefit from that similarly. And again, we might not get to where soccer is, you know, because soccer had such a massive base of participation at the youth level, but we can be very, very successful with a smaller share. And the way the sports market is now so fragmented, that's something that's achievable now that probably wasn't a couple of decades ago.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, you mentioned the World Cup. So for those who don't know, the T20 World Cup is being played in the Caribbean and the States in 2024. So the next T20 World Cup, which is the one your team is trying to qualify for now, is in Australia in 2 or 3 months' time. But then the one after that is going to be shared between the Caribbean and the US, 2024, which is exciting. So just to finish, I suppose one of the interesting things about the US cricket is the diversity of places to play and climate and sort of pitch types in a way.
Absolutely, yeah. In fact, diverse in all ways in terms of the players, their heritage, background. You know, you've got players from the Caribbean, from South Asia, South Africa. You know, they're all over US cricket. We have a first generation, second generation, and now, you know, increasingly American-born and bred players coming through. And the conditions they're learning in are incredibly varied. You know, you think of a Seattle where it's, you know, wet and almost English-like in conditions, versus a swampy Florida or a dry hot mountain area, Arizona, deserts. All those areas are very different from each other. So you are going to have conditions, you know, conducive to different styles of play. And players are learning from coaches from all different backgrounds, from different countries. There's not just one school of thought, one style of play coming through. You've got every single test playing country has a lot of coaches now in the US that are imparting their own, you know, their own backgrounds. So you're going to see the US have a very diverse set of players. It's definitely going to be a more short form focused set of playing experience. I think we've probably got players playing more T20 cricket than anyone else in the world right now, because you can play year round with the climate we have here. Because you can play in Florida and California and Texas, you know, in January and February quite comfortably, as well as the rest of the year. And there are weekend competitions happening all the time. So they're getting tremendous experience in that. And I think that's, you know, going to start to shine through both with the players we already have, the young players coming through, and some of the players that will qualify to play for the US that have made America their home and are now contributing to the game year round too. So you're going to have a very interesting mix of players. I'm not going to suggest, you know, in a year or two, we're going to be shocking the world, but I do think we're going to be a much stronger team than probably people might assume quite quickly. And that's going to help too, because we do know that American sports fans expect quality and success. So, you know, that's an important factor in what we're trying to do, that we're not just trying to build these franchises. As important as that is, we're trying to grow the quality of the USA national team. And for Major League Cricket, that's important to grow the game. We're also the commercial partner of USA Cricket. It's part of our agreement with USA Cricket to invest in the sport as a whole and fund USA Cricket development. And in return, we have some commercial rights attached to that. So there's a very clever symbiosis that's in place for the commercial partner, for the league to invest back in the governing body and development of the sport. So it's a very long-term vision that's been put in place and has that goal to have us competitive at World Cups in the future and potentially even host events like cricket in the Olympics in LA in 28, which we'll find out more about later this year.
Yeah, well, there's the Olympic Committee sort of headquarters is near the ICC headquarters, I think you said, in Colorado. And there's a sort of symbiosis. There's a good connection, good communication going on between the ICC and the Olympic Committee, the International Olympic Committee. So that may happen. I mean, of course, this carries on a great legacy, doesn't it? Because famous, the famous Hollywood Cricket Club, which is, I think, sort of 1920s, 1930s, David Niven, I think he was involved with it. And even before that, there's a ridiculous story about C. Aubrey Smith, who played one test match for England as captain. They won the test in about 1884, and he took 5 wickets, and he never played again for England, became a famous director in Hollywood instead, and obviously got involved in the Hollywood Cricket Club. So, you know, it really is continuing, Osborne, restarting a fantastic cricketing legacy. Are you confident that it can happen this time?
Yeah, I think we have every piece in place. You know, I've worked in sport long enough to know you never quite know what's going to happen tomorrow, however good your plans are today. But when you think about the not just the amount of investment, but how strategic it is, that's what makes a lot of sense to me. You know, we're not just going out and say, hey, we're going to build one mega stadium and get a couple of IPL franchises here and play a few matches a year. We've invested holistically across the whole game, the grassroots of it, the semi-pro level, you know, the pathway to the professional game, and getting in that layer of professional coaches, players, and building these stadiums, infrastructure, high performance centers. You know, there are several now multi-pitch facilities across the US, in Atlanta, in Seattle, in Houston, where you're able to have 5-6 quality grass pitches in one place, and you can get an awful lot of cricket development done there very quickly. So you've got these hubs developing around this whole country, and this country has such a passion for sport and is so good at organizing it commercially, that if we can strike into, again, just a sliver of the sporting, you know, the sporting fan base, including the one part that already loves cricket, which is millions of people, you know, we're already probably the number five cricket audience in the world in terms of sheer number of cricket fans. Even if that's a small portion of the population of the US, this is such a vast country that it's a massive number of people. And that's, you know, surely that's why the ICC has identified America as its number one expansion market, because they see the upside and the potential. So we have a lot of work to do. We need the cricket community to get behind it. We need grassroots work to go on every day in 20, 30 cities, which is what's happening. And we need to help be the hub of that and be supportive of that around the country. And I'm sure we'll get some things wrong and some things right. But if we can show examples like Morrisville, North Carolina, Dallas, Texas, we can make it work in different places like that, and then expand it to New York, New Jersey, LA, and have world-class facilities there. Then, you know, I definitely think the sky's the limit, and the trajectory is the right one. And you can see an incredible rise where you know, we have World Cups, and we haven't even talked about women's cricket, which I think is a massive opportunity here in particular, with the strength of women's athletics in the US.
And the success of women's football in the US as well.
Yeah, and just, you know, how strong collegiate and high school athletics are. You have so many great athletes. Give them an opportunity to play cricket, and I think you'd see an incredible amount of talent come through. And we're already seeing the US women's national team take some great strides. So I think that's a massive opportunity to quickly get to a world-class level. So, you know, we have all those pieces in place. We have incredible investors who have far-sighted vision and the means and backing to do this. You know, the CEOs of companies like Microsoft and Adobe, you know, they're very careful about what they invest in. So, you know, I think there's a reason why they're making this investment, passion for cricket, yes, but also a belief that we have a program and a plan in place that can take it to the next level. It's going to be an adventure and a ride, but I think it's going to be fun to watch.
Sounds really exciting. Now I'm going to put you on the spot. Name a US-born cricketer currently involved in the county championship.
Well, you're Ian Holland.
Correct. Didn't take you more than 2 seconds to get the answer. Ian Holland.
In fact, he's playing right now rather than playing the T20 match, which is understandable, you know, county contract, obviously.
He's currently 20 not out for Hampshire against Worcestershire. batting in the top three for Hampshire. And very interesting story, isn't he? Born in Wisconsin, but actually made it into professional ranks by winning a talent search competition in Australia, amazingly, and then found his way into county cricket. So I'm going to interview him on this podcast at some point in the next couple of weeks, actually, because he's a really good story. But I mean, obviously, that is your intent, your ambition is to generate more cricketers, both men and women, who can play at first class level wherever.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you'll see a number of those. It is a volume. There's going to be just a volume, frankly. The amount of good cricket being played now and the facilities available and the resources that are available, it is going to become a pipeline. I definitely think that's true. Yeah, there's just so much opportunity here with the coaches and the facilities being put in place. And how good the US is at developing sport infrastructure, that we'll see a lot more of that in the future. And I think we'll see a reverse pipeline within the next decade of, right now, we're importing a lot of professional players to the US. I think that will reverse at some point, and it'll be fascinating to see. When we see more American accents out at county cricket playing, that'll be quite something to see. I look forward to that.
The ball's out, they're going to watch that. Yeah, look, anyway, I mean, good luck with it. And I suppose there will be people listening to this thinking, God, we don't need any more cricket, more major league cricket or major T20 cricket. But the game has to grow and has to try and find new markets all the time. Otherwise, it'll just get overtaken by other sports. So it's a good move. And it definitely is a market which is exciting to explore from so many different ways, not least actually the technology aspect, which, you know, will really draw a lot of people in the US because of the emphasis on technology and so on in American sports. I mean, that's another, that probably is another podcast, to be honest.
I'm
going to say something there.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I know there's a lot of people that do think there's too much T20, and it's funny though, there are a lot of American hardcore cricket fans who didn't grow up with cricket. They are as interested, if not more, in the multi-day version, in four-day, in test match cricket, as in one-day or T20. They find it fascinating. And yes, it might be a slightly harder, you know, barrier of entry, but I know many of them that think the same way, that like that format of the game, that appreciate it. And it's not as if Americans will watch a four-day, major golf tournament from 9 a.m. till 7 p.m. without blinking an eye. So, you know, when I say a test match is 5 days and lasts a similar amount of time, there'll be some eyebrows raised. But when I say it's just like
a Ryder Cup,
I do watch that all day, every day for 4 days, or I dip in and out like you do with a test match, right? So it is explainable. And I do think there's some interest. I'm not saying we're going to play test match cricket here tomorrow, but I actually do think there's something about it that's going to be interesting to the American audience as they learn the game too. So just a little optimistic note for the county cricket fans.
Well, thank you for your time. Anyway, I think you better get back to your day job now, because I'm sure there's a lot of work to do. But as I say, good luck with it. And, keep an eye on this space, because I'm sure we'll talk to you again in due course to see how things are progressing. And obviously, when the time comes, give it the right kind of publicity going ahead into the tournament itself. But in the meantime, thanks for your time. It's been really interesting talking to you.
Yeah, thanks, Simon. Hope to have you over at Major League Cricket next summer.
I can't wait. I'd love to see you.
Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.